My, oh my, oh my, what is going to happen to us in the future? Maybe the not too distant future. In a moment, Vernon Bahabel joins us. He's back with us as we talk about his work. He's an expert in palmistry and many, many other things that deal with predictions. On Coast to Coast AM, we shall return. And welcome back to Coast. Let me tell you a little bit about Vernon. Vernon is the founder and director of the Palmistry Institute of Los Angeles. He combines astrology and palmistry to make predictions about trends for the United States based on repeated patterns that he sees in thousands of palms that he reads. And he, of course, has read thousands of hands, given hundreds of lectures, and trained hundreds of students as well. And tonight we will talk about all things predictions here on Coast to Coast. Vernon, welcome back.
Thank you, George. Thank you, George.
Had a story earlier that people are blaming Mercury retrograde for every bizarre thing that's happening to them. Is that true?
George, it's true, but it's overrated.
Is it?
you know, the interesting thing is that people are learning much more about astrology. They're becoming more discriminative about astrology and becoming more aware of it. So along with that, people are becoming more aware of things like Mercury retrograde. But, you know, the interesting thing, George, is that it also affects people in different ways. Some people, if Mercury is placed really, really strongly, that means it's powerful in their hand or their chart. It's not going to affect them that much. If Mercury is placed really badly in a person's chart, it will affect them. This Mercury retrogrades will affect them. We have somebody like Donald Trump, for instance, whose ruling planet, that means his main planet, is Mercury. It's not going to affect him that much. It's really not. So, and the planet of Mercury deals with communications. It deals with being able to send good letters. It also deals very much with finances and business and stock market and trade like that. So someone like Donald Trump will not be so much affected by it. So it's a true thing, Mercury retrograde.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit overrated. I agree with you. They shouldn't blame everything on Mercury retrograde.
you know what's amazing, though? I mean, you're an expert in astrology and palmistry, and I can't wait to talk to you a little bit more about that. But what is it about astrology, the stars, the heavens, that affect people?
Oh, wonderful question, George, and I'm asked that all the time. The stars, the planets, they do have influence and impact over human nature and character. They have influence over our destiny as a nation, as nations, as a planet. And this is the difference between the way modern academia, modern atheistic academia sees it. They don't see that these stars and planets have influence over human destiny, whereas the astrologer sees that they absolutely do have impact and influence over human nature and character and life purpose and like that, whole countries, whole nations, the entire world. So, you know, years ago, let's say a little bit less than 400 years ago, the astronomer was an astrologer. And there was, if you said you were an astronomer, you were an astrologer. But as in the last 150 years, as this modern revolution of the atheistic modern academia has taken over, then they have really lost the understanding of how the planets affect us. And they don't see those influences. They don't see a God in control, and actually they don't really see life behind these planets. Actually, the interesting thing, George, is that these planets, for instance, in astrology, we use the term houses. Well, actually, these houses are houses of demigods and goddesses. These planets are actually the houses of the demigods and the goddesses, and they are the ones that are actually pulling the strings or calling the shots. They're actually kind of like the CEOs of these planets. just like you have, you know, a CEO pulling the strings of a company.
Sure. Vernon Mahubal with us. Go ahead, Vernon.
Yeah, so at the same time, there's personality behind these planets. They're not just orbs just floating in the sky. They're actually arbitrators of karma and destiny, actually. Just like on our planet, they call this planet Gaia. In Vedic astrology, there's a demigoddess named Bhumi, Mother Bhumi, they call her. And she's in charge of this planet. And if we were on Jupiter or Neptune or Saturn, the effect that the Earth has on another person or entity on those planets would be patience. The key word for the Earth planet is patience, and you can see how Mother Earth is very patient.
It sure is, sometimes too much.
I even say that myself, George.
Sometimes.
But she's the goddess of patience and forbearance and tolerance and humility. So if we were on Saturn and somebody was, let's say, doing your chart and you had the Earth planet very strongly in your hand or your chart, the astrologer would say, you're a very patient person.
I love it. So when you got involved in palmistry, what got you pulled into that?
In the late 80s, I met someone whose name was Patrick, and he used to sit down on St. Mark's Street in the East Village of New York and have a little table on St. Mark's Street and read hands. And it was kind of like an archetypal moment for me. I was walking down the street and I looked at him and I was watching him read somebody's hand. And all my friends used to always hang out in the East Village, so seeing that over and over again, it just kind of struck me in the heart, and I said, I want to learn this. You know, there was something that was almost mystical about it. It was something beyond, you know, what I could understand in a conscious way. It was more of an unconscious thing. So he became my teacher. He taught me for 5 or 6 years. I used to sit down with him for 5, 6 years and watch him read hands on the streets of New York. And he taught me everything. He taught me the Western astrological system of the hand. And, you know, also at the same time, I was working in the rock and roll industry. I was doing PR and, you know, so on. And I was getting sick of that.
You must have had some fun doing that for a while, though, huh?
Yeah, it was great. It was fun. But the music industry, I couldn't stand it. And the whole time I was looking at the hands of musicians and artists. I always had a following of clientele. And one day somebody who had come to, somebody who I had given a reading to a year ago said, you know, just kind of, you know, gave me a kick in the pants and just like let it out. He just said, why are you in the music industry? You should be doing this as a living. You changed my life. You know, what a waste of time for you to be in the music business.
So you switched.
It was like the next day.
Yeah.
I just said, okay, I'm just going to do this as a living.
Any notable musicians that you worked with? Or groups?
The biggest musicians I've ever I've read for Gene Simmons. I've read for a lot of mostly the metal world, the rock and roll world. But I would say the most famous musician I ever read for was, let's say, Gene Simmons and people like that. I've read for a lot of famous people.
I
live in LA too, so I read a lot of hands for.
How about Nikki at the Motley Crue?
No, I have not read for him. I've met him once, but I've never met. I read the hand of one member of Metallica. I can't tell you who it was. Not on the air.
Proprietary, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, let me ask you this about the palms. Is the left palm and the right palm, are the palm prints the same, the markings? Or are they different?
No, they are not. The left hand deals with our inner self. The left hand deals with our subconscious, and the left hand deals with our intuitive self. The right hand, I look to the left hand to see how a person is internally, what they're like by themselves, and what they desire and what they wish for. The right hand is the outer self. So I look to that hand to see how a person's career is going. Are they becoming successful? Are their plans being fulfilled materially? So the quickest answer is that the left hand deals with the inner self, the right hand deals with the outer self, and they're both going to be different.
Like a snowflake, is there any hand that they're all different, aren't they?
They're all different. There isn't even a fingerprint pattern. There isn't one ever replicated. There will never be any, because we're all individual souls. You know, according to the Vedic version, we're an eternal spiritual soul, and the soul is situated in the most inner core of the heart, and it's riding in a sense, or it's sitting on five life airs. In Sanskrit, they're called prana, and the soul expresses itself through the agency of the hand. So the hand is a window to who we are as a soul. And in Sanskrit, who we truly are is what's called Satchidananda. Satchidananda means we are full of pure knowledge, we're full of joy, and we're full of we're eternal. But if we are identifying with this physical material body and this physical material world, then we have lost that awareness of our bliss and our understanding of our spiritual nature and our eternal nature. So my job, so to speak, is when I read a person's hand, is to get people in touch with that spiritual aspect, because matter comes from spirit, George. Spirit does not come from matter. And if we do our spiritual activities, everything material will be fulfilled.
Okay, now here's a strange question for you. Why do we even have markings on our hands? What's the purpose?
To understand who we are, what our life purpose is. The markings on our hand indicate our psychological nature, what we are looking for emotionally, what we have been doing for the last few lifetimes. I usually tend to only look at the last two or three lifetimes, four at most, because that's all I really need to ascertain what a person requires in this lifetime. But the markings on the hand tell me exactly what a person should be doing in life. What is their true occupation? What will give them fulfillment and satisfaction? And sometimes even the best places to live. The soul etches those markings on our hands so that we can become happy and we can do what we're supposed to do, rather than, you know, just be a clone of this modern society or a robot.
If I Xeroxed my handprint and faxed it to you, for example, not that I'm going to right now, but would you be able to look at that? Would that work that way?
Certainly. 90% of my work is done reading printouts of hands like that, Xerox or printouts, yeah.
You just put it down real hard and flat?
Yeah, I just tell people to go to the local Kinko's or Office Max or Staples or whatever and just put their hand on the glass, close the cover, and make a few prints and send them to me.
What do you find about an individual when you look at palms?
Well, that's the most fascinating thing, because you're looking at you're actually taking a journey with them on the sojourn of their life. You're actually looking at where they have been for many lifetimes. For instance, it's just like a tree. You know, we don't see the roots of the tree, but the roots of the tree are so important, because in an aspect of personality, the roots of us are what we have done in our previous lifetimes, what our talents are, what our abilities are, and how the roots grow, that's how the tree will grow. So I'm looking at our past life karma. I'm looking at what we have desired from a previous life, what we wanted from a previous life, what challenges and obstacles we had in a previous life, and then I put it all together and tell a person, okay, this is the exact occupation. This is your life purpose. This is how you can make a masterpiece of your life. You know, this is why in astrology or palmistry, one's nature is so much more important than nurture. Because you can have great parents. We've seen so many times people can have loving parents, but then the kid turns out bad, or vice versa. Now, this is why one's nature. You know, sometimes four or five lifetimes of a wonderful, let's say, a person who was very, very good and did good deeds and was pious and helped people, even if they have absent parents. They'll turn out really good, nonetheless, because they have that nurturing, those strong roots. So in palmistry, one's roots or one's nature is much more important than nurture. Of course, nurture has to be there too.
Well, Vernon, if somebody dies, do you see the end of the road by looking at their palms?
In other words, can I see death?
Yeah.
I absolutely can, but I think it's unprofessional to tell someone how long they're going to live. I think that's the sign of someone who is disingenuous.
Well, what about hold on now. What if you felt someone was going to die in a week from a car crash? Wouldn't that be beneficial to them to know you better watch out?
You know, that's a great question, and I would answer it this way. If I see someone's health, someone's doing something to their health that is deteriorating their health and they could, like, live another 25 years, I will tell them. In other words, even health trends can be seen 5, 10, 15 years before. So I will tell someone, okay, maybe you should eat a better diet, you should be a vegetarian, you should you should get off drugs, you should eat vitamins and minerals, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I've been reading hands for 25 years, and I've only seen one time where I read for someone who was in danger of dying. And I did tell that person.
Interesting thing. I mean, because everyone that you see eventually is going to die, so maybe there's a window there, huh? A time.
Yeah. Absolutely. I agree with you. But I also at the same time think it's very unprofessional to say, oh, you're going to die at 81, because then they have that date in their mind, and then their free will is taken away. Because we do have free will. We do have a destiny. In other words, I could never become a boxer. I'm just not physically adept to become a boxer, but I can do palmistry. So if I do what I'm born to do, if I do what I'm supposed to be doing, I'll be successful. So at the same time, I have that free will not to do palmistry and to try some occupation that's not going to be good for me, or I'm not acclimated for. So we do have a destiny, George, but we also have free will. God gives
that's
us
right.
free will.
If you shake someone's hand, Vernon, do you get a feeling when you grasp that hand? Can you feel anything about them?
A little bit. Yes, I can. Actually, I'll tell you, I'm just as unintuitive as anybody else until I look at a hand.
and then you're in a different league all by yourself.
Exactly. When I look at a hand, it's like looking at a television. But, you know, I'll always make the wrong turn, or, you know, I'm not very intuitive. I'm much more practical and analytical in real life. But when I look at a hand, that's when my intuition just turns on. Yeah.
Okay. And Vernon's website is palmistryinstitute.com. Which is linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. He's got a couple books out there, too. If you're into this, it's Crossing Paths, The Palmistry Cards, and the third is The Secret Code on Your Hands. When we come back in a moment here on Coast to Coast AM, we're going to get into some of his thoughts and predictions of just about everything, from where we're headed, why do things, you know, as we've been saying for years, we're leading up to people feeling very, very strange. We're going to get his take on that, too. We'll be back. And welcome back with the astrologer and the expert in palmistry, Vernon Mahubble, as we talk about just those two major issues. So, Vernon, I want to get involved into what you see, what you predict, what you think could happen on some various things. And let's just go through them now. Next hour, we'll take the hour to talk to our listeners about palmistry. This fascinates me. It really does. If somebody's palm was altered, let's say they spilled acid on it or something, would that affect anything?
Interestingly, there was a movie a long time ago, and it actually was something that came out of real life. There was a guy who was a criminal, and he took off his fingerprints, and he turned the skin upside down. And the fingerprints grew in a matter of a couple weeks exactly the way they were. If you were to pour acid on your hands, those lines and those what we call dermatoglyphics or the fingerprint patterns, they would actually appear on the other hand if the hand was too damaged. The hand is going to give you the answer no matter what. Nature always has a way. God has a way. The soul will express its content somehow or other. I've actually seen people who, and I've looked at this a few times because, you know, it's what I like to do. I've seen people who were born with only one hand or had an accident and then lost a hand, and everything that was on that hand that was lost is going to be replicated on the other hand. So the soul is going to express its message somehow or other. It's going to get through. Many times even people work with, you know, oils or paints or this or that. Sometimes I can see the lines and the configurations better, you know. But the lines, the fingerprints, all these creases and markings, really what they are is kind of like a crop circle, if you will, or a GPS pattern. It's actually there that the soul expresses its message, and it goes through the agency of the brain, the chemical electrical warehouse that we have in our head, and it comes out through the hand. So even if you lose a finger or something like that, it's going to appear somewhere else on the hand so that the palmist is able to properly direct that person. You know, really, George, what our hands are, it's a roadmap of our life purpose and who we are and how to become successful and how to become fulfilled. The soul is going to express it no matter what. And so a lot of people say to me, a lot of people will say, well, you know, life doesn't come with instructions. Well, actually, it does. It's on our hands.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, do we still have the same palm prints as we had when we were small, when we were babies? Does it change at all?
You know, if I was to look, and I do a lot, if you were to look at even a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old, if their life destiny is to become an architect, I would be able to see that. But on anybody, I mean, I can't see if they like chocolate milk better than they like coconut water. But I'm going to be able to tell, are they going to be able to grow up to be an architect, a musician? Will they be happier as a culinary artist? That type of thing. Everything that is in your hand, if it's in your life, it's on your hand. And everything is on the hand when you're in your womb, in the mom's womb at 7 months. The only problem, George, is that it's really hard to look at a kid's hand when they're 2 or 3. You know, the mom or the dad has to keep the hand open long enough for you to be able to see it. But the fact is, and it's also in miniature. You have to have, like, you know, your best magnifying glass with, you know, a lot of lights on it. But the fact is that everything that kid is going to grow up to be, and what they're good at, and what their challenges are, and what their struggles are going to be, it's all on their hands, everything. The changes that will go on will be, let's say, you know, do they take the path to become an architect? Are they going to wait for 10 years to do it? You know, we do, like I said before, we do have a free will. Otherwise, we, you know, God gave us, you know, free will is love. When someone says to me, you know, do we have free will? That's the love that's given by God, you know, to be able to change and shape our destiny or our identity or what we're here to create. So we do have a destiny, and we do have talents and abilities from previous lives, and those are on a young kid's hand. And of course, the excellent thing is that if I could read for a kid who's, let's say, 3 or 4, I'll be able to tell their mom and their dad, okay, this is the challenge that they have. This is what to be aware of with them. You know, let's say, put them in the creative writing class, or your kid's going to become a good football player. You know, it'll really help them to understand their psychology and their mentality and their emotional content. So that's the good news about reading Hand of a Child.
Brennan, let's talk about some of the trends that you see over the next year or so for the country, positive or negative. We'll go through a list of things and get your take on all of this. What do you see out there?
Okay, this year, since November of last year and all of this year, we've been in, and I'm not going to get too astrological jargony on you, but we've been in a Mars period, a sub-period of Mars. It's been really difficult, as we know. You don't have to be a palmist to know that. It's actually next year, around, let's say, February, March, April, we are going to see, believe it or not, an uptick in the economy in certain aspects. The next 2 years will be more of the same of what we've been seeing. There are going to be good stuff and bad stuff, but yeah, we're in a difficult phase right now. Whenever you have, let's say, we're in a major period of Rahu with a minor period of Mars. Whenever you see this stuff, people are going to be disgruntled. They're going to be frustrated. Mm-hmm. But the good stuff is that they tend to become very aware. They tend to become a lot more perceptive about what's going on around them, and therefore they become more frustrated, but at the same time, they're not babes in the woods when it comes to what's going on, you know, in the government and the world around them. So the good news is that people are waking up en masse, and the bad news is that it's going to continue to be, you know, a little bit more of what it's going to be for another couple of years, and then we're going to slowly, you know, dig our way out of it.
People have been uptight lately, though, Vernon. I mean, road rage seems to be at an epidemic stage. People just seem to be uptight. Do you feel that?
Oh, absolutely. Even the richest people, from the richest people to the upper middle class, lower middle class, everybody's feeling an insecurity. What this planetary period is doing right now is, the word is insecurity. We're feeling unstable, and this is why Donald Trump has, you know, I may want to talk about him in a little bit, but this is why Donald Trump is really doing well in the polls, because he represents that person who, you know, he may shoot from the hip when he's talking, but the fact is that subconsciously he's a very solid person, and people see a productive, very grounded, very security type person,
and a non-politician,
Yeah. So this is why it's hitting people home on a very subconscious level, because actually he's got a chart of a king. If he was born, let's say, 500 years ago or more, he would have been a king. And the way he runs his business is like a king. So he represents a pillar. He represents a foundation. And this is exactly why people are feeling unstable, because the astrological period that we're in, it's a Rahu sub-period of Mars, and that's all I'm going to say about it. I don't really like to talk about it too. It's like, it's too technical, but the idea is, in English, everybody's feeling insecure, unstable. There's a lack of foundation. It's kind of like the planet having, the worst thing that for on a planet is to have an earthquake. The earth under you is rumbling, so you don't feel any groundedness. So this is what's happening astrologically. The planets are setting up something astrologically so that everybody feels ungrounded. And there's a reason for it. The reason
it's dangerous, though, too, Vernon, isn't it?
It's very dangerous. It's incredibly dangerous. But the reason is that so people can wake up and say, okay, we've got to do something about it. We've got to build our foundations better. And this is why someone like Donald Trump is resonating with people, because he's already done it. He's a master at business. He knows what he's doing. He's a very solid character. Like I say, he may get himself into trouble here and there and shoot from the hip, but the fact is he's a very cautious businessman. I looked at his hands on years ago. I mean, not in person, but on the internet. Let's say in 1999, 2000, I actually thought he could actually run for president. And he could win, because he's a and one of the things that I very, very strongly saw on his hand is that he's very cautious. He's very careful in business, and this is why he resonates with people, because exactly what you're asking, why are people feeling so so frustrated,
But you know what I've got to tell you, Vernon? He hasn't come across with one major plan to alleviate that.
When you're George, and you're absolutely right, and I'll explain it to you this way. When someone like me, who is an astrological palmist, looks at this stuff, we have to take into account the subconscious things that people see, rather than just the thing we see on stage. It's also what are we picking up internally? What is our heart saying? In other words, what is our subconsciousness? He's resonating something subconscious right now, very, very strongly. This person who's very solid, he knows what he's talking about. You know, he's walked the walk. That's what's resonating with people subconsciously. So you're absolutely right. He may have a few, you know, good platforms here and there, and you know, he does talk about building the wall, having bringing business back to.
I don't think a wall is going to help.
The fact is,
I wonder if he forgot that they also can build ladders.
Well, you know, I'm saying to you that this situation, this astrological situation that we're seeing, will start to slowly dissipate in 2017. We've got a little bit more. It's not going to get better for a little bit of time, maybe a couple solid years. But around June, July, August, and September of 2017, we will start seeing some abatement of where these planets are going to move. They do move.
There are some that are saying sometime in September, we don't have much longer to go, that we're going to have some kind of upheaval, some kind of disaster. What do you think?
Okay. I'm going to be honest in saying that, you know, the Rakshasas, that they call them, the Vedic view, the reptilians, the people that really are in the management of this world, they don't like life. They want to destroy everything. That's true. They're going to do their best to try to destroy what they can destroy. Having said that, I don't think they're going to be able to do it. I think their time is up. It's coming to an end. They've been in power for 150 years. They're going to do more. You know, they haven't really been stopped yet, but they're going to, you know, evil destroys everything, including itself. So they're going to be the undoing of themselves. So, yes, I do believe there could be more upheaval created by the government. And just like your esteemed guest before, he was talking so much about terrorists. Mm-hmm. In my humble opinion, looking at Americans' hands, the real terrorist is our government. That's the real terrorist. I'm not worried about China. I'm not worried about North Korea. I know you have a different opinion, but I'm looking at Americans' hands, and I don't see our problem as being other countries. I see our problem as our own government. And we as Americans are exceptional. And it's just like that song, we're not going to take it anymore.
Yep.
We're not going to take it anymore. You know, the government's going to continue to do what they're going to do, and they're good at it. But like I said, you know, the symbol of the snake is that it swallows its own tail and it kills itself. So, you know, their own evil deeds are going to their own sinful activity is going to destroy them. We can't do it. We're not prepared. We don't think that way. So their own evil, mischievous deeds are going to take them down in the course of them trying to destroy us and the planet. And I think people are waking up. They definitely are. And I'm not trying to be Pollyanna about it, but we will see a better world, because the fact is that karmically, it's their time. It's over.
So you don't see a third world war popping up, do you?
Oh, okay. Well, here's my prediction. If it does happen, Pakistan will attack India, and then it'll bring the two superpowers to fight with each other. Yes, that's my prediction.
That's huge.
Yeah. China will not get involved. China wants to build. The greatest sufferer will probably be India, because it will be decimated by Pakistan. Pakistan will also not do very well. America will win, but will suffer heavy losses. After this war, if there is a war, because we do have the free will, but this is my prediction of the war, people will be sick of technology. They'll be strongly into spiritual life. We can see it now. We see yoga places everywhere. We see that people are getting into all kinds of new age therapies and philosophies. I mean, you know, interestingly enough, George, when I started, you know, my career in a big way in the late 80s, I was so happy to see a palmistry book once a year. Now I see one every 3 months. You know, I mean, the New Age sections in your Barnes & Noble, the metaphysical sections, they're like two giant sections, even in the smallest Barnes & Noble. So the fact is that, let's say you have a person like Donald Trump who's saying, okay, I'm going to bring back manufacturing. And a lot of Americans feel that actually we're suffering as a country because we're losing our manufacturing. But they don't know that astrologically this is what's meant to happen, George. The generations that are growing up are not interested in technology like the previous baby boomers. They're not interested in, you know, manufacturing and that type of thing. They're more interested, of course, in computers and cell phones like that. But the fact is that our trade, our stock and trade, our growth is going to be in the spiritual markets, such as spiritual lectures, astrology, yoga, meditation. This is where America is going also. This is a big part of the equation. So it's not just, we could say that certain presidents and NAFTA and GATT have taken away and destroyed our manufacturing base. And that's true. Absolutely, it's true. But the fact is, George, is that this is also part of our karma. Like today's generation, you have 16-year-old kids that can understand a cell phone more than like a...
Oh, you have 4-year-olds that can do that. Vernon, we're going to come back, talk more, take calls next.